Welcome.
Nej. Det lyder noget.
Okay. Welcome.
Ej, jeg råbte lidt der.
Welcome.
We are Marie.
And Georgia.
And we are the host of the podcast series called Everyone We Wish You Knew.
On a monthly basis, we invite people from the performing arts environment in Denmark to talk about their practices and artistic work.
We are curious about the work of dance artists, choreographers, performing artists, critics and scholars who contribute to the making of what we call the Danish dance scene.
For this month's episode, we had Malene Bonnesen as our guest. Our conversation started with the focus around her collaboration with the Collective Dance Atelier.
We were interested in hearing about her as an artist and how her experiences within the collective have influenced her work and vice versa.
Nå, damer. Skal vi se på det?
Hvad så?
Så arbejder på interior design.
Ej,
jeg ved ikke, om jeg skal være interior designer eller monster dancer.
Lige meget ud, hvad der fandt i dag.
Sådan, man kan hoppe ind og ud med.
Vi ses derinde om lidt.
Vi ses nu, hej.
And the sound is fine.
The sound is fine.
It works.
It works.
Good.
How are you?
I'm very well. I feel like home. Oh.
It is your home.
It is kind of my home. Yeah.
How long have you had this place?
Now it has been half a year now. I think 6 months. We moved in July, August-ish. So now we are completely settled.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Great. Mm?
So I would start by saying that it's a pleasure to have you, Malene, with us for this episode, this month's episode. And we decided that a good start for everything would be if you introduce yourself by name and background and anything you would like to have with, for the people listening.
Mm, great. Cool. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me for this great initiative. So, just shortly about myself, my name is Malene, and I am a dancer and choreographer, and sometimes I teach. I was educated from the Danish National School of Performing Arts in 2015. And I'm based in Copenhagen, and I'm from Denmark, from Odense. Where I started the journey as a dancer, and between 2005 and 2010, I was part of a youth company in Odense, which was it's a very significant part of my story as a dancer, because that was where I really started to figure out that was a deep interest and something that I really wanted to continue with. And then after I graduated from high school in 2010, I'm really going back, because I actually think that's maybe also important for where I am now. But I graduated from high school in 2010, and then I had three different works I shuffled with, and I just earned a lot of money. So I took a student visa program in New York, where I went for 4 months, and then I took the program there, and then I applied for the school, and I got it in 2011. So there was one thing I wanted, and that was it. That's a little bit about my background. And now I'm here in Dance Atelier.
Yeah, right. So you graduated from the school, and then you guys created Dance Atelier.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what is Dance Atelier? Also for the listeners who don't know what it is. Mm-hmm.
Dance Atelier is a physical space here, and it's also a collective shared between 11 friends. choreographers, movers, dancers. And 9 was are from the same year. We graduated from the same year, and then 2 came. They were doing their exchange with us, so we knew them, and they took part of the collective as well. And we kind of continued some of the thoughts and conversations that we shared during school. And it was already back then we wanted to continue working together and see if we could establish a space like this, because we wanted somehow we wanted of course to continue our thoughts and conversations around dance and choreography with each other, but also find a place that we could call our home, or a space where we could go and work, because that's not so easy for freelancers to belong to somewhere. So that was one of the main wishes back then. Yeah. And then now it's a space where we work and hang out, and we host events, and we have our meetings, and trying also to invite other people to the space and host workshops and these things. Yeah.
And from having the wish to find a home as a group of artists that already knew each other, how did you start? What was the first steps? That perhaps I'm referring to some practicalities, but still, how did you begin?
Yeah, I think what was really crucial back then was actually finding a space, and that was the starting point. Before we kind of defined who we were and why, and all, like, we wanted a space. That was the main priority back then. And I think maybe when I look back at it now, I think that was maybe good that we really decided to find a space just after we graduated, and from there we could build on. So we graduated in June 2015, and then during the summer we were just looking for a space, old garage places and office spaces and stuff. But we found something in Valby in September, and then we moved in October. So we were looking for 3 months or so. And we had some meetings at Folkets Hus the first couple of months, Nørrebro, where we kind of had our meeting point, then we moved in the atelier in Valby in October, and now we are back at Nørrebro in a new space. Yeah.
And through what kind of processes did you then create you called it the who and why? I mean, the first priority was to find a space, and then you were going to deal with the who and why, or what?
Mm. Yeah, that's... I think that's also something that we are constantly figure out in this group, like who and why and how. But I think we are quite aware of the size of the group. That if we are more than 11, then it becomes very, very difficult. Already now we have some. Like how to communicate, for example, and how to update each other. And like the bigger the group gets, the more difficult it also becomes. So we kind of know who we are in this group and the size of the group. We're quite, yeah. And what Dance Atelier is and what it will become, that is something that we have a conversation about all the time, because we really... move in different directions. And I think that one of the reasons why it worked out to begin with was because we didn't have any other knowledge from the field. So we came directly from school, we had the idea of what a class or workshop should contain, or what kind of routine we wanted. And like we had the same background in education. And that made it maybe easier for us to continue from there, because we were not shaped or formed from working with other choreographers or being in the field for many years. We haven't really, we haven't our own artistic image or identity yet. So somehow that was something we are, that is something we're shaping together. Because after 3.5 years, we all sense that we're actually working with very different things and in different discourses and in different interests.
And now when you're talking about your different interests, like, we invited you because we were also interested in you as an artist and how you develop within a dance atelier, but I would just like to ask you, where do you see yourself now, and how has this process of being part of a dance atelier influenced your work?
I mean, I work, the last couple of projects I've been part of and I'm part of now is dealing a lot with community work, actually, a lot with engaging schools or institutions or different unions, or like based on engaging citizens and how to engage in the art making or the art process. And that requires a lot of negotiation and a lot of different ways of communicating. And I sense that that's there's many strategies that I take from this place into that work. How to balance the way you want to phrase things or shape things, and also make compromises. It's also a big part of being a collective, to compromise and always, or like sometimes bend your ideas or your ways of doing things. And I think that many of the ways and the strategies we use here in Dance Atelier is something that I take with me into that kind of work as well.
Can you share with us some strategies or methods or approaches that you either developed or have?
There's something about there's something that the negotiation part and also making compromises and like to realize that we are not agreeing here, or we are there's some kind of a friction, and you have to go through that friction somehow. And I think that the ways that we are dealing with those frictions here is something I do take with me, and I'm trying to find a good example. But it could be, and no, I was maybe another way to put it is the way that we are structured. Like, we do have Thursday meetings here. We do have a platform of communication. We do have some we have distributed some tasks. So one is taking care of the email. One is doing this, and one is doing like. So we are also rotating and circulating responsibilities between us. That is somehow something that I'm aware of when I'm working with in schools or with the people I work with in these projects, that there are some of the responsibility that I should take and that I do, and then I also, and then we distribute it between each other. I really try to have this collective mind with me, because I really believe that's how you move forward and get the best out of things, I think.
And before, you also talked about that you it was easier for you guys to start this collective because you haven't been part of the environment before. You hadn't have any experience as freelancers and then creating the collective. Like, now, some years after, how do you see Dance Atelier as a platform or a missing link in the contemporary dance field, or how do you see it fitting in comparison to the rest of the field?
It's a good question. I think that Dance Atelier, we established the space not as a to begin with, not as as another platform that should curate or provide space for others. It was actually a need to make a nest where we could grow slowly. And then what often happens with these things, that they people, they get aware something is cooking, and then one thing takes the other, and then that thing grows. And I think maybe that was what has happened with Dance Sicily, that there was actually also a need in this city that a place like this kind of got established. So I also think it's something about timing. There was a specific timing, a good timing in this establishment or this initiative, in the sense that it wasn't. There's not a lot of different ateliers or dance studio spaces that has the same, that works the way this does. So
there is none.
No, exactly. I'm also thinking. Not like not with dance. Then it's visual artists or but not like this in Copenhagen. And that was maybe I think maybe that's the reason why it also got a lot of support from the environment and the community, because it's it brings something else into the field. Yeah, I just want to say that it also suggests something else and an alternative to the big art institutions and venues. And even though we also work as a venue somehow, and we curate other people's work, but it's very very budget limited, and it's low. Low-key in a very, very different way.
I'm thinking of my collective spirit, because I can hear the snores music, but I'm not sure if it's disturbing me or not. So I just wanted to share with you if it's...
I think it's nice. Yeah. Perhaps we can make sure that, to introduce that we are in a working space, and that means that there is people working, people dancing and using music, exactly. And that will frame the background of the discussion from now on.
Great.
And also just to say that this studio really works, it's a very fluent space. We are working next to each other, and we can really book the studio. It's somewhere where you go, and then you see what happens.
Yeah.
So this, I find there are two things I would like to hold on to. The first one is what you say, for as a practicality, there is no booking schedule.
Mm.
It's a shared space, and people have to get along.
Yeah.
Working here, if I understood it well. Yeah.
But if there's something, if let's say that you are working a lot with loud music or voice or something where you will be a little bit loud or disturbing one way or another, you just tell the others and say, hey, is it okay that I'll be here for the next 2 hours? And then you figure it out. It's not like, it has never really been an issue that there wasn't space for that as well. So it's just something that you say, and then we deal with it internally. Yeah.
Yeah, like other places in life, like you need to communicate and communicate your wishes and negotiate other wishes. It's a good practice.
Yeah, it is.
And the second thing that I would like to hold on to is your description as Dance Atelier fulfilling some kind of need that the environment had without even knowing it, perhaps.
Mm.
You created it, and it got some kind of attention because the need was there.
Mm.
If we see it from the opposite side, what kind of need does Dance Atelier fulfill for you as an artist?
Mm. I think it creates some kind of continuity for me and support from some very close friends. And some people that I've shared a lot with, and I've known since 8 years now. 8 years. So that's one thing, that there's something about to insist a little bit on also when it's not easy. It's not always easy to be in a collective, but it's extremely interesting because it's you need to give something of yourself all the time, and you cannot always have it your way, and I think that is a practice in itself that is important. And also to feel this that there's like a cushion for me, like there it's not easy, but it's but it's holding me up somehow, and the people here are carrying me when I need it. So yeah, I guess it has a very strong social aspect as well, like a social support,
yeah.
And that we are saying yes to each other, like something about choosing each other, because it's very easy, and it's very easy to do your own thing and get a little bit lost in your own freelance life and disappear into the void. And not everybody is doing that at all, but I could just imagine myself that I would feel extremely lonely if I didn't have this space, for example, just to go and be. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. A way of creating some stability around you,
yeah,
or like,
yeah,
some regularity, because in the freelance world it's a constant like pulling you everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Like I haven't been here for a while because I've been teaching a lot lately, and which has been great, but I've also really missed to go here. And then I knew, okay, on Friday I'm gonna be here, and just I'm looking forward to go back to. Yeah, to my home, to the base somehow, which I see this. Yeah.
I'm not sure how to introduce this though, but we would like to try something.
Yeah.
This is a paper.
Yeah.
This is a pen.
Yeah.
And we would like for you to write some things down that's important for you.
Mm-hmm.
About this collective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the core points? I don't know if you have like one or two or three.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Start with that. So for the listeners, I can tell you that Malene is writing down with a blue pen.
Yes, and she's thinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
She's making connections. And we will take a picture of this and put on the homepage, I suppose, as well.
We said that with the last one as well.
Oh, we did?
She didn't get any picture, but we can still see it. And they cut it out.
That's good, then we can always cut things out.
This song that he plays now is one of my favorites at the moment. I love it.
Who is it?
It's Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus. And I have a weakness for Miley Cyrus.
Wow, yeah. I've never heard it before.
Really? It's
it's
a hit.
It's a hit,
it's
okay. Shit. Need to be more updated.
I knew he would like that song. I haven't talked with him about it, but I just knew it, and I think that is related to this point. And then we have
cool.
Would you mind reading them out loud?
Definitely. Maybe I should also, should I put words on what I mean, or is it, I don't know.
You can elaborate.
Yeah. So they are closely related, I think.
Yeah.
Like one thing is to actually have a physical space to work in, because the situation in Copenhagen at the moment is it's a bit tricky, because there are really not a lot of working spaces at the moment because of Dansa Hellernes situation. So that's really something that I appreciate that we have. Then there's something like what we create in this physical space is also very important for me. That these people in this space, they are feeding me with new thoughts, different discussions about dance and choreography, and different discourses in the field. And as I mentioned before, we are working within different discourses, but yes, a little bit. We do have different interests, and this has been developed during the last 3.5 years, of course, that we've been kind of going down through different pathways. But this is something that we bring back to the space that I find very, very important, and it's a way to somehow get some inspiration and also get your own ideas challenged.
Always important.
Always important. Always important, because that could also be some kind of a trap that you are producing the same, or you are kind of agreeing on your artistic ideas, which you don't necessarily have to, because we do work with different ideas and also different strategies in our own work. But what we do agree on is this space, and that is important to find the stability in that. I don't know if this was right, but that was just the three things that popped up.
For this moment, it was perfect. It was exactly this.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know, now it was what it was.
Exactly. And then maybe tomorrow it will be something else, but yeah. I think that's also a value in capturing a moment, or capturing a thought. Of
yeah. And I also think that it says a lot about what happens here. Like, it's also something is constantly changing, and maybe something else that is valid tomorrow. But
yeah. Also, if you write new and something different, and you're also talking about this constant the plasticity of the space, but is it part of the profile of this space that you consciously have this openness in your profile? Also thinking, what kind of artists are part of this? Mm. Is it artists that challenge their own understanding of what they're doing? Is it artists that appreciate tradition and more concrete structures? And that's a vague, perhaps a very...
No, I know what you mean, and I actually think this is extremely tricky, because we also by creating a group, you exclude other things, you exclude other people, and that's something that I'm very aware of, and I don't have this solution other than that's the fact that there are some people who are not part of our interests and. But I think what we have, what we wish is to also to create space for things that are not so well supported in the field. Something that doesn't have a venue, that doesn't have a platform, that doesn't have a voice in this community. And it is a conversation that we do have and that we are aware of, and there are never a simple solution, because you will always exclude some, but at least to be aware of who are we inviting, who doesn't have a voice or a platform in the community, and then from there see how you can invite them or help them in one way or another. If that makes sense.
Yes,
yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, if we go more deep into you.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded very vocal. Sorry. This is Friday night, but
it's so fun. Yeah.
The beauty is I can always cut things out.
I'm also like, I'm fumbling around figuring out how to express myself, but you can just cut out things that are just not understandable. So that's nice.
Yeah. And you said earlier that you just came back from a lot of teaching and Could you tell a bit about that?
Yeah.
Where have you been teaching and where are you now in?
Mm-hmm. So I've been, not this week, but next week I will kind of finish off something called the Huskunstner Project, which is basically a project that offers educational institutions to invite an artist to share his or her practice. And I'm teaching in dance and creative processes in different high schools around in Chile. And this is my third year I do that. So it's a bit balancing between doing physical things with them, but I'm doing it with two other colleagues. So we are sharing different scores. We are testing and trying with the students, and we have a whole choreographic game that we are doing with them. So we have. So I meet the students four times, and the fifth time, the three of us, we are teaching together or facilitating a space with this choreographic game. So,
who are the other two?
One is Lars Dahl Pedersen, and the other is Mette Møller-Overgaard. And we come from quite different backgrounds or quite different interests, but I think we found a way to, how to say, we figured out a way to cross over our practices and thoughts in what we do, which means that Lars's background as both a dance choreographer, but also he studied philosophy. His thoughts, which are quite based on heavy theory, and Mette's huge engagement in teaching and having a lot of experience with teaching in general and community work, and then me that are working especially a lot with dance atelier, collective practices, collective strategies, kind of find my way from this space into that. Like these different interests are crossing over, and from there we have established this collaboration. And that's from there we have then made this choreographic game, which we are presenting or facilitating for these students in high schools. Which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because they're really introduced to something that they haven't experienced before. You are introducing them to something that they introducing to ways of moving and ways of dealing with your body that is very unknown for them, and I think that's very interesting. Yeah.
And now you return from those teachings, and what are then the upcoming things? Mm-hmm. Or are you in something, or are you in between? Or?
Next to this house artist project, I'm in a new production by the choreographer Tina Tapgaard, and it's the last performance in her trilogy. It's called Extended Falls to Humanity, and will premiere in April, 1st of April. And it's also a participatory performance. So I'm very engaged with these participatory formats, which it's funny why you end there or how you get into. But that's just that's where I am right now, and so I'm again meeting a lot of different people. I'm in this particular performance or this production, we are inviting citizens from different cities to be part of the performance in different city halls in Denmark. But each performance has to be designed for the kommune, for the city we're visiting. So we will be in Ringkøbing and Helsingør and also Copenhagen and a few others in the future. So that's a lot. It's almost like a anthropological study, because it's that you really have to meet very, very different people with different backgrounds and different stories, and include their minds and thoughts about. So basically, we are dealing with the future of that particular city and the stories in that city. We have to bring that into the performance. So I talk with many, many different people. I just got very good friends with an older lady in Ringkøbing, and we call each other now and then. She's very, very nice. Yeah, hopefully she will be part of the performance as well.
Okay, so the citizens will, some will be part of the performance.
Yeah, or some of
their
stories will be shared in the performance. We don't know yet, but that's also what I'm busy with. Of course, it's Tina who has the main responsibility, and I will be a performer eventually in the performance. But it's a lot of research and a lot of interviews and a lot of gathering information. Yeah, so that's next step.
Yeah. I would like to ask you if you could share with us any other artists or people who have influenced you. It could be works, it could be specific artists, it could be a book you've read, or anything that's particularly strong for you at the moment. And you can take your time to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just there's just so many, like there's just a lot, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things that influence you all the time, and
yeah.
I really don't have a. There's one person I would like to mention, and also one person that really inspired me and made me interested in this field, and that's her name is Tine Dambo, and she was artistic director of this youth company I was part of back in the old days. She is a dancer and choreographer, and she also studied, I think she took the dance partnership education as well. I think the first year it was at the school. And she was extremely committed to what she did, and she really gave me a lot of she gave me a direction, and she showed me a direction, and she was very, very brave, and she was hardworking, and just a very good example of how you should treat students, I think, and how you should, be with other people. She was a huge inspiration source for me, and there has been several others, of course, afterwards. But that's just like one who really made it clear for me why this is so important to do somehow. Of course, Densitaly is a huge part of how I think and how I work and all these things, but I think that's obvious in the interview. And the people at Densitaly. But I will let you know. I will let you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let us know, since we also have a small text to each podcast, so we can just put it in the text.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank
for
you.
Taking your time.
Of course.
To talk with us. And
so much fun. Oh, like it's
inviting
like,
you.
It's a lot of fun just to have a little reflection time, right?
Exactly.
And get reminded why you do what you do and it's part of the journey and these things. It's very a nice initiative, you both of you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it was a pleasure. And it's also a pleasure to hear that you also got some kind of reflection time. By talking about yourself as an artist and yourself as an artist in this space you call density.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Everyone We Wish You Knew. We are very excited to share this project with you, and just stay updated for the next episodes.
Yeah.